So hello traders, welcome back to another episode of the Traders Show. Today we are lucky to be joined by two guests. I'm going to introduce the guests a little bit later, but first I want to tell you welcome back to another show. We've not released an episode now for a couple of weeks, reason being we're focusing on trying to make the show a little bit more interesting, trying to look for a little bit of difference in what we've been doing, because for the last 2 years we've been doing the shows and we've learned a lot from you guys giving us feedback on what should be done, and that's what we're trying to update. So today we're moving more from the trading side and we're going to talk more about entrepreneurship and business. So we always like saying in the show that we're good traders because we're businessmen, and we're good businessmen because we're traders. It's very, very important to understand the financial side of a business in order for you to run it efficiently, and at the same time for you to run a business efficiently, you must understand the importance of financials. So today I'm joined by two guests, Donald and Dennis. The two are co-founders of a startup or a big company called Hasibu Systems. Hasibu Systems is a point of sale systems. They started the company back in 2021 and they've grown it to be a very big company in that space. One of the big clients that they do have, include Bar Next Door, and some big restaurants along Kiambu Road. They'll tell us more about the entrepreneurship journey. That's what we're here to discuss, the lessons that they have gathered building a company. It's a fully remote company, so I think there's a lot to learn from having a fully remote company that is expanding at the scale that they're doing. So a lot of insights from them, and that's what we'll try as much as possible to learn from them. But before we start, I'll first allow my co-host to introduce himself, and then we can officially kick off the show.
Greetings, everyone. It's a pleasure again to be here to deliver content to you guys. I hope everyone has been well, looking at markets if you're a trader, and enjoying content that we produce. So for today, as Kenna said, we are glad again to have tech guys here. So we're in finance, they're in tech, so let's call this a fintech podcast for today. So we'll chat about their story, their company. They'll tell us more about what they do, the solutions they offer for businesses. If you're in business, you might find a solution here for your business. So I'll be glad to learn a lot from them. Also, I'll share part of also my story with them. It will be an interactive session, so be open to learning. Thank you.
Okay, so I think to start off, I'd allow you guys to introduce yourselves and probably share with us how you guys got started with what you're doing. We'll start with Dennis, probably.
Lovely. This is Dennis. Thank you very much for the very good and broad introduction. That's a very awesome one.
Okay, you're welcome.
So yeah, my name is Dennis, and as you heard, co-founder at Hasibu. I'll let Donald introduce much about that, but I am the one who does the tech part of the fintech.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you guys for hosting us today. Name is Donald. I play the part of the, I won't say non-tech, but administrative.
The business side.
Yes, that one. Operations, etc.
Okay.
Yes.
And tell us more, a little bit more about what Hasibu Systems is. Briefly describe Hasibu Systems.
Okay. So basically, I'll define a problem, then define the solution with Hasibu.
Perfect.
So most businesses, first of all, don't understand the value of data.
Okay.
Or even if they do, they don't seem to have a way to necessarily get it in ways in which they can consume it and make decent decisions. So the bigger establishments cannot do without the data. The small ones often think they can, but they also can't. So by small, I mean maybe businesses that are doing anything between 200,000 bob.
That's a month.
A month.
Yes.
To north of $1 million or at least
$1 million.
50 mil. Yes, a month.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by this is you need to understand certain cycles of your business. If it's a merchandising business, kama mnanunua vitu.
Yeah.
You need to understand how much you use to purchase these things, how many do you have in store, how many have been sold, what is moving, what is not moving, so that we stop selling that and possibly focus on what is moving more. Who is our best employee in terms of sales? Who is moving more items? Who seems, you know, that type of information.
Yeah.
How much money have we collected yesterday, today, per week, per month? How did it come in M-Pesa, PDQ, what, etc.? So we realized most small businesses didn't have decent solutions to assist them in collecting that type of data.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn also did not help them in any shape or form for the decisioning element of it. So that's when we built Hasibu.
Okay.
So Hasibu generally is a cloud-based point of sale solution that also covers collections, expense management, stock, all the way from purchases all the way to distributing the stocks to the people who sell and all that. And have I left
anything out? And the reports and analytics that come with all that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, if I've understood, you guys are basically trying to make more businesses make data-informed decisions rather than just guessing what to do.
100%.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Can you describe to us the process of creating that platform?
Okay, good. So even before we go into the tech bit of it,
okay,
some bit of introduction as to how we ended up with Hasibu.
Mm-hmm.
Donald and I were in the same high school.
Okay.
Finished in 2012. And then we went into separate colleges, ended up doing different businesses as well, up to the point when in 2017, we had a platform we were working on at the time. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of business experience. That's how we learned the challenges that the businesses were facing.
Okay.
The challenges around data, challenges around how do they manage their employees, their inventory, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So all that experience is now what culminated into building Hasibu in 2021.
Okay.
So the business, the process of building such a product, I'd say we began building in 2020, September. That was right after COVID hit. I think COVID started in
2019.
2020.
January,
February. Yeah. March 2020
Yeah.
So around that time, that's when we were just sitting somewhere in a room with Howard. Howard is also part of our team. And then we just thought about what can we do to come up with something that can be able to serve at least a bigger market, not just we were working with bars and restaurants at the time,
mm-hmm.
not just like that particular group of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat down, ideas were thrown, put them on a board somewhere. That was around 2020, now September.
Yeah.
Luckily, we were sharing a house with Howard at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of engagement. We agreed that we'd be the one working on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
That is the back end, by I mean the business logic side of things. And then Howard would be working now on the front end, which is basically what the users get to interact with.
Yeah.
So the process basically is you identify the areas that you want to build. That is, we need to have a platform that can handle sales through a point of sale. So that's one area. Yeah, there's another bit that should allow them to track expenses. That's another area. Then inventory as well. Mm-hmm. And then the reports that you want to pull from all this data.
Okay.
So the kind of, that is what now guides you into how you're going to structure your data storage. Your data storage now being the database. So I'm trying not to get so much into the technical
Yeah,
literature.
Yeah, definitely.
So once you structure the platform in that way, mm-hmm. now you can be able to build module by module.
Okay.
Start with the key ones, which in our case was the inventory bit and the selling bit. And then we came to the expenses bit. All this is we build in around, there's a customer using it.
Mm-hmm.
We had one client using it. So based on the feedback that you're getting, you're iterating through and through. Just make sure that the selling process is very simple and direct to use. So over time, we built a couple of iterations from September all the way till I think around 2021, sometime around March. That's when the product was a bit stable. Because you onboarded the second client now in February 2021.
Okay.
Yes.
For probably just some of our listeners who don't probably understand what is a POS.
Yes.
Please just explain to them and what it does in general.
Okay, good. So a POS in full is a point of sale. I'm sure all of us have been to restaurants. And also, even if not a restaurant, you've been to a place where you're given a receipt or a bill.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you've gone to a hotel and then you ask for a glass of juice. That glass of juice, the chef or the person at the kitchen needs to know there's a customer who's asked for something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a point of sale now comes in there to bridge that communication between the person who's taking your order and the person in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So the person who's taking your order, now in this case, the waiter or the waitress, they'll go to one of those screens, zinakwanga kwa ukuta, or maybe on the countertop of the counter. They log in, they swipe with their card, and then they punch in your order right there.
Okay.
So that's the point of sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally a point where they're making that sale.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So yeah. I hope that's much more understandable.
Okay. So that is now where the journey starts from data collection, whereby now you finalize all the way to someone having some analytics to know which product sold, at what time it was sold.
Exactly.
The prices and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of that happens in the background, the whole data collection, because the point where the waiter may post that order, now the point of sale has captured it was posted at this time.
Okay.
And this by item this that was posted and by this person as well.
Okay. That's nice. So the next question would be, so did you start Hasibu from trying to solve the solution? Solve the problem. You saw the problem. Then you were like, there's a software solution here that we can provide. And that is when you started the company, or it was something you were doing, then you just moved into it because you were doing some sort of that before. So it was sort of using that skill to now develop your something of your own.
Okay. I'll also have Donald add on to that. But we had a platform we were working on before, but it was primarily just focused on clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And the bit that we changed a lot was it was a one-off platform.
Oh,
whereby we get a client, Namambia, I'll give you this solution.
Okay. Oh, and so it's an offline subscription. Well.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a one-off platform.
Uh-huh.
You can host it in your premises, maybe at 200,000, whatever amount.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd use it and sisi tumemalizana na wao.
Uh-huh.
But we realize that's really not sustainable at all.
Okay.
At least from our perspective and also from the client's perspective. Uh-huh. Because the moment you've paid me my 200,000, I think I am pretty much okay. Ukinipigia simu, I don't have any incentive to pick it up.
I have no obligations.
True. I was done with you.
And also the improvements and everything.
Exactly. Okay. So if you need to continue providing value to these clients, you need also to sustain a business.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that's how the transition came about. So we agreed on a figure that will be sustainable from the businesses that we're trying to onboard,
mm-hmm.
and also that will be enough for us to run a profitable business.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I had one question in line with that. Probably Donald can answer this. Can you share with me examples of how a business that was not using a service like Hasibu changed after they onboarded such a system on their process?
Okay. That's a good question. So I will think about two or three different businesses on different levels in different categories.
Uh-huh.
So the first one I will say is they mill. They do maize milling, kutengeneza unga.
Okay.
And before they were using the solution, no one within that business knew. Even the simplest thing, sometimes you think it's really easy,
mm-hmm.
but it isn't. You ask them, how much did you make last month?
They don't know.
No one has a clue.
And they're running a business.
Bruh.
The business owner himself.
Higher. You ask them. So for the sales, because now you need to understand there's a difference between sales and collections.
Yeah.
Ukiuza, you need to receive money. Mm-hmm. These are two different
ideas.
Processes, yeah.
So you ask them, okay, sawa, so how much of your money have you been able to collect and how much is out there?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you guys are milling, selling, but mwishwamwezi no cash. What is the problem? What is happening? Okay. Aya, number two, you will be so surprised that most people don't even understand very, very small problems pertaining stock. For example, there is a club we have that they had a solution, but it was not as robust and as helpful maybe I will say that. And so they used to buy stock, sell stock. They are looking at their P&L, their profit and loss.
Mm-hmm.
That necessarily just shows you how much you have made in profit.
Yeah.
And they can see they're making good money. So say 4 or 5 million ni watu wako tu within Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
5 million is good money.
Yeah.
If you're two owners, do the math, you're happy.
Yeah.
But you go to the bank, there is no 2 million, 2 million per person. So
yeah.
Where is the problem?
Uh-huh.
And so they start using Hasibu and they start to realize that they cannot be able to track purchase habits. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, habits.
So, yes. Because now, one of the things people need to possibly differentiate is things like what is cash flow?
Mm-hmm.
Cash flow ni pesa tu iko in the bank or someplace, mm-hmm. but it is cash money.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to profit, compared to revenue.
Revenue, yeah.
Yeah. So what used to happen with these guys is they realize now through the use of Hasibu, most of their cash, their inventory or their stock guy was just buying. There is no purchase discipline. They don't understand things like, they're called economic order quantities. So basically the figure below which if your stock goes, based on how much time you usually take to reorder and then things come and all that stuff, you don't want to run out of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you don't want to purchase before that moment because you're trying to liberate your cash flow.
Yeah.
You want to be left with money, cash at hand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know these things.
Mm.
So they kept purchasing. You know, you call your guy, tunataka Jack Daniels, ngapi? Letter 40.
I'm a guest too.
You know.
Top of mind.
You know. So, because now Hasibu has a way it can show you like the value of the stock in your stores.
Yeah.
You find you have like 10 million locked in your stores.
For
you
JD.
Do revenues of like 5 mic or something. Mm-hmm. It will require per month. It will require you to sell that stock for like, you know, 5 months, 6 months.
Mm.
Your pesa is just cash. There.
True, yeah.
You know?
True. Yeah.
So those are some of the small nuances that now become so apparent to somebody who is smart enough to look and see, higher.
Oh, okay.
In Ujinga tunafanya.
Mm-hmm.
We can be doing an order every week.
Mm-hmm.
For example, maybe on Friday, Saturday. We can be able to already see how much we sell per week,
mm-hmm.
per month, per product.
Yeah.
So if I usually sell 10 Jack Daniels bottles a week, I can order like 11.
A week.
Cycle,
yeah, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. That way now your cash flow is good.
Mm-hmm.
Inventory is
your guys.
Good.
Yeah.
Because now the mailer guy, now he had to develop a very good relationship with the bank.
Because mm-hmm.
you go with your papers, you're like, bro, I swear, man, I'm making money. Look, no, check Lizzo, bro, we are looking at your accounts. It's not math. And that's the way now they were initially able to meet now their cash obligations. You, because you know now, post gross profit, now you have expenses, unalipa stima,
mm-hmm.
salaries,
mm-hmm.
mafuta ya gari, salaries,
mm-hmm.
Et cetera, et cetera. This comes after the gross, ndio?
Yeah.
Now if all your money is kept hapa kwa the inventory, what will you use to pay these things?
Oh, okay, I get you.
Yeah, so those are some of the things that we have been able to observe with some of our clients.
And that's a very good solution for companies because we also run a company and, you know, I'm feeling all those pain points and I also feel like I have some of those pain points. Like probably I should meet you guys after this podcast. You also give me solutions and some of those things.
Yeah.
So growing Hasibu, how has the journey been like, you know, since 2020 challenges, you know, successes, maybe you signing your first biggest deal or maybe attaining sort of numbers you are targeting in terms of clients you have. How has it been, maybe? Take us through that.
I think I'm sure he has a bit more insights as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Starting off 2021, getting a client, I think it would be more, you go for like a whole week or a whole month.
Mm-hmm.
After actually even 2 months.
And you guys are the ones doing everything. You're the developers in terms
sales
of coding, salesman,
so
you know?
How at the time it was myself and Howard working on the product.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it will happen through the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the day, I joined Donald to make rounds.
The streets now.
No,
Donald, you make rounds in the streets.
Let me tell you.
Rubber meets the road now.
I think when you have come from a humble upbringing and as you have grown, you never really get detached from how low it can get. So what Dennis didn't tell you is within 2020, all our business interests died. We had nothing.
Nothing was working.
Including the other point of sale we were pushing. There was nothing.
Nothing.
Yes.
And you guys are graduates by the...
Yes.
This guy has graduated with a financial engineering BSc from JQuad. You did computer science at KU.
Okay.
So they had the option of going for jobs, but they decided not to. Let's hear the story.
So when we met an uncle of mine, who last now was September. The last nudge to, you guys need to rethink your product. So he sat down with Howard, which is what he was saying earlier, and they now structured something.
Okay.
So as he said, ideas. I'd get a call or two because I'm not so product-oriented. I mean, I couldn't do that to save my life. But anyway, it's their problem. Them, they know. I just told them, like, bruh, the product we have is miles beyond what you're thinking. I'm like, okay. So that is the product problem. But there's always a selling problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Before now you get to the third major problem, which is the cash collection problem. So these are usually the three problems.
Yeah.
So product problem, at least we didn't start so beneath because he had already built a product before, a couple of them in all fairness.
Yeah.
But this is also a new venture, you know, and we are always believers of we need to get insights from the market and build something that suits the market. So that's why he was saying, we said with somebody, so we tell them, imefanya kazi, iyo report,
a lot of taka. Back and forth.
Apana, unajua, ata naanza kukasirika sasa. Calm down, tomorrow morning. Na Howard, overnight,
they work on it.
Product. So when now we were ready to go now into market, which is now 2021, Feb, March.
Around there.
So now we sat down and we're like, bruh. Now, we are big believers of you use what you have to get to where you want to get to.
Definitely.
So you need to always be very cognizant of, okay, sawa basi, hatuna pesa.
You know what we're marketing
and what.
You have zero capital. The skill is there.
Number two,
you don't have
hamna brand. Hamna brand. No one knows what the heck. Atumesema ni hasu? Mesema ni hi?
Hesabu.
Hisa? Ebuni text? You know?
Yeah.
So we had nothing. So we decided that now what you're going to do, as these guys are working on their stuff, me, my job was very simple. I go online on Facebook, not after biashara Facebook, na Instagram, not after naandika. So my target was I need to call 10 guys to set up meetings with them, but I go and show them the product. Hire. So you look for, hire, you get your 10. So the following day, every day, like clockwork, between, it's always good to make calls before 2 p.m. if you're doing cold calls. Guys' minds are fresh and they're ready to absorb newness and everything. But then again, not too early, watu wakipanga siku.
Hey, we can begin now another Mr. Shika.
So you're need to between 11 and 2.
Exactly.
Give or take, yeah? So I start. Hi, my name is Donald. I'm calling you from Hasibu Systems. Umetoa hii number wapi? Give me a chance. Done. So of like 10 guys, the rule is always like make 10 cold calls, get 4 guys, and then one of them will give you a sit down.
Yeah.
So it's tough work.
Yeah.
So for now, these one or two I've gotten, I call Mr. Lieutenant over here. So mnenda, mnamonyesha solution. And one of the things you start to learn Ali is, if you're the one who is hunting instead of you being hunted, this game is hella difficult.
Yeah, for sure.
Because now all the leverage is on their side. Because by this it was sour. Now you're convincing him he has a problem. You know. So now I'm convinced. And now you can tell somebody they don't know what they're doing.
Definitely.
You get. So there has to be a lot of...
You know, smart selling.
Yeah. I think I read like 6-7 books on negotiation and sejui nini. So ikafika point we realized, hey, I think I need to be a bit more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So now we started like making routes. So we are like, bro, leo we are hitting Imenti.
Walking.
Yes. Because
mm-hmm. you don't also don't have cash for...
You remember we don't have cash. Nairobi. Yes, I mean. So tunapatana asubuhi. Hayadi pesa chakula ni tough, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So mnapatana, you find some ka good ka joints. Mnaeka mafuta kwa gari. I eat breakfast.
Gari
ni wewe mwenyewe.
Mnaeka mafuta kwa gari. Mnaanza safari. Haya. So what you quickly learn is those no's, they're a punch in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time you're getting your sixth no, it's like 10 a.m. in the morning and you have until like 2. Hey, bro, I didn't have kamali mwambiana. Hey, bro, mie.
Mafta imeisha.
Watch out on the home.
The funny thing is, you'll go to a business, you'll find maybe the cashier or maybe the manager. So, number one, watu wa POS wamekuja hapa. Maybe this guy has been benefiting without for the fact that there's no system in this business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you want to meet the owner for you to get a
basically
go ahead.
Nenda ku...
They block you from the door.
You're a criminal.
Like a good report.
You're going to be on the scum.
So they don't want that now.
They don't want. So nambiwa tu ni sawa niache namba yako. Tambia mwenye akupigie.
Seriously.
So that's the end of the conversation at that point.
Alikuja ama anakuja, asichuangi anakujanga, lini anakujanga.
Watu wa POS walikuwa hapa.
Naweza mkisha brandi wa hivyo. Because you see now, people need to understand what you later learn in life is, if you're a salesperson,
mm-hmm.
you never sell a product. You sell a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You sell a problem. And then hopefully this person will see that you are the giver of the solution to the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you ever go by product, no one hates being sold to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm.
if you have been in a job and you see those hawkers coming, the first thing you do, bruh, number one, don't make eye contact.
Mm.
Earphones.
Kwa chua kigonga, you know.
Tro course nini.
Well, it's five bobbies trying to get from you.
You never make eye contact ever because like psychologically people hate being sold to.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now the second problem is, as he's saying, I can't get to the person I need to sell this problem to.
Mm-hmm.
Gatekeepers.
For sure.
Yo.
They're everywhere.
Yo.
They're everywhere.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you get to that guy and tell him, chief, yes, just a couple of questions. Give me 5 minutes of your time.
Mm-hmm.
Aniambia sawa basi niko na mbio na muuliza haya bro ni kuulize swali moja tu mbili tatu. Products zako sahi vile tuko hapa sahi, how much are they worth from a purchase perspective and from a selling perspective, what do you stand to make if you sold everything? Akwambia wa bra sijui, yo, I don't know. I don't know. Number two, how much in profit? Wacha na revenue. Profit, una makingi roughly how much per day? Maybe gross, because net is a bit tough to calculate.
Mm-hmm.
For, but gross, how much do you make in a day?
You don't have that
data. Hard. Haya, tuendele. So, unaanza kum get dead to streets kiasi. You know, now he's starting to get interested because like, wow, okay, how don't I know that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to the third question, you're like, okay, sir, now, expenses zako, like per month na kanga jilu juu exactly, pesa yako ni gani na pesa biashara ni gani?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you have a 100% attention. Now you can sit and have a conversation.
Yeah.
Because now at that point I can be like, no bro, what is it worth to you if I brought you kitu ambayo inaweza kusaidia na hizo vitu zote nimekuuliza?
And for only this much.
Better yet, I'll give it to you for 30 days for free, bro. Sitakulipisha hata kitu. Because I want you to pay for value you have used and seen and appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Will you give me that opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
So this bottleneck here, kwanza ya kufikia ulem guys, ay.
It's a big hurdle for you.
Yeah.
And how did you break through that? How might just
you know, the
keep
law of
moving?
The law of averages is throw as much mud on this wall as you can see what sticks.
Yeah,
for sure.
So tunajua tukikuwa na watu, tukipana na watu 100, hata wasi 5 kumi. Wasi
10 watapata.
Kuna fulani atatokea hapo.
You know.
The winter will get keep.
Yes. So that is how it was in the first
place. And also like doing away with the barrier for the businesses, you don't really need much to commit to this platform.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it to you for free for 30 days.
Okay.
Experience it. That makes them much easier to like make that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it easier for the businesses to say, I see taji kitu yote. Ah, kujeni basi mandi mweke.
Okay.
Mtatulinda watu, mtatusaidia na dit. Soon hivyo tu.
So that really helps a lot with getting the businesses onto the platform.
That's a smart way to onboard. Very, very smart. So until now, how has the growth been? How many clients are you servicing? If that information is open, or like, are you okay? Do you feel okay? Of course, businesses always have to grow, but are you contented with where you are at now, and where do you want to go?
For the growth bit, I'd say over the last 2-3 years, we've worked with 200, close to 300 businesses in total. Which some have, of course, churned out. But we have well over 100 that are still very active on the platform.
Starting from one?
Starting from...
In 2 years?
Yes.
Do you know how much percentage growth that is? About a million.
It gets more interesting because for our type of business, you look at... acquisition, you look at retention, you look at...
Yeah, of course.
So our biggest retention has been in this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So last year, but one were really tough. Like year one, I think we closed with what, 10 guys?
Or 9. And I think a lot of them left.
Left in January.
Mm-hmm.
Now you
have get to new business. Come back now and look for others.
Yes.
And if you ask yourself, why are they moving? Is it they find solution again, not... Like, or do they find better solutions, or, you know?
So for the first year, I think maybe we'll also add on to that. For the first year, we had, we onboarded businesses which we didn't know are not going to benefit from the platform.
Mm-hmm.
We
a wrong target basically audience.
Basically, the wrong audience.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. The wrong audience.
Yes.
We worked with a lot of delivery businesses.
Mm-hmm.
To a boda boda nonanga. They charge 200, 300 to deliver in various parts of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked a lot with them. And we onboarded close to 20, if I'm not wrong, of those rider businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And they used the platform. A lot of them, I think we had around 5 very loyal customers in that line of business.
Mm-hmm.
But then down the road, we realized their businesses were not big enough to
Number
one, to afford the monthly charges. And also, they were not using a lot of other areas of the platform. Because for them, I nataka kutrack to parcel, kama imefika, ijafika.
Okay.
And your parcel ni ya nani. At the end of the day, pia watu wenye wamemtumanisha. How much it needs to collect from them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we churned a lot of those businesses, actually all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, who is now your right target? Who are you dealing with now big? Like, who is your ideal target?
So we realized that we wanted businesses that have quite the amount of moving parts.
Okay.
And the reason is simple.
Mm-hmm.
If a person just has a shop that ni yeye tu na mtu mwingine mmoja, more often than not, they can be able to still rely on manual ways of doing their business.
Mm-hmm.
And within themselves, they can't necessarily validate why I will be paying for a solution on a monthly basis to assist me to run the solution. They are not going to a point where they can get completely convinced, except for a minority few.
Mm-hmm.
Who honestly, we have had some of them since last year, June, July.
Mm-hmm.
But not for the ones that have more moving parts. They genuinely need. They are in need.
They need
a solution. Because the moment your solution in Anguka for 4 minutes, the amount of calls you would get are absurd.
Seriously?
Mm.
Yes.
Just for 4 minutes, 5 minutes, you
can't upload stock. You can't sell. You can't track what is being sold. So
you guys are in business.
So even you guys, like, you don't have time for downtime.
There's no downtime.
we don't do downtime.
Okay.
Nice.
So when you get such a person, they're coming from a point of need.
Mm-hmm.
So much.
They understand the solution.
Mm-hmm.
They understand the value of
the solution. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at that point now, we started focusing on guys like that, principally.
Oh, okay.
And number two, guys who... at least hopefully look for us because it's an initiative of need.
Yeah, for sure.
Then you're giving me a call and telling me, hey, bro, now when you sit down and talk,
you
desperately or you at least decently need that solution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At that point, you'll understand the value. So, aruta kosana, mara ujalipa imwezi, mara you want to leave, mara you want to come back, mara ke. Because for a startup, you don't have the three functions, time, money, energy.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are stretched to infinity.
Yeah, so you
cannot have it so spread across a large group of people who don't seem to understand these three things and their need, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for these guys, at least you have, you might have a lesser amount of guys, but your time, your value, your energy, etc., is very
limited.
Yes.
Still on the entrepreneurship part, because you've moved from, let's say, Hasibu to more of the entrepreneurship journey.
Yes.
I want to ask you guys a couple of questions. You guys have 15 employees working for you, or at least you're a team of 15.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you think about hiring? Number one. Number two, you guys have a remote working culture. Like people work remotely majority of the time.
Yeah.
How do you go about that, ensuring people are productive? Like, what's the culture around you making sure that the people on board don't just tell you, I've done this, but I've not done, or I'll do this, but I won't do, or this is done this way and it's not true. So how do you go about that?
Okay. I think I'll break it down to the hiring bit first.
Okay.
So you make a lot of very many mistakes before you learn how to hire very well.
Mm-hmm.
So from our side, we've made hire very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rush into bringing someone on board.
Mm-hmm.
Get to meet them, talk to them, and then this is basically a month. It takes a month to hire someone.
Okay.
Within ourselves, and then when you need to make the decision to fire someone, do it immediately.
Firing is immediately.
No waste time.
Yes, because if you continue delaying that decision, you also eating up on the limited resources that you do have.
Yeah.
Then the second bit about Hasibu being a fully remote team, I think I would say we've been very lucky, number one, to have very, very good employees.
Okay.
And that has really also been helped by having very strong communication processes, because the product team is fully remote and also part of the support team as well. It's remote. I would say we only have a co-working space.
Okay.
But barely, no one goes there most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the communication bit, having a very strong communication tool that is used across board by everyone in the company, that has really helped, because with my team, we do meetings, every stand-up meetings, 1 hour long, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So that you know that you know everyone and what they're working on. Mm-hmm. If there's any blockers that you need to sort out, you sort them out in those particular stand-ups. And also making sure that everyone understands what you're working on. Because it's easy for someone to, you know, lose track of what they're actually supposed to be doing at work. So being on the same page, having a very strong communication process and channel within the company has really made it easy to have a fully remote team.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys lead people and manage people. That's one of the hardest things to do.
Mm.
It's not an easy task.
Yeah.
How did you learn how to do it, and what are some of the critical lessons that you have learned in line with that?
Okay, so I think it starts from the hiring element.
Mm-hmm.
Which he has just highlighted. But I'll also add, when you're hiring, you look at three principal things. So the first one is core competence. So if you want a software developer, then your metric of measure for whether this is a good candidate or not should at least make sure that, you know, this is a good developer.
Yeah.
On which now requires us to now have a very good understanding of exactly what we are looking for, which is something people don't necessarily think too deeply about.
Mm-hmm.
If it is now my team's implementation, retention, and all that, I need to understand, I need somebody who has very good soft skills, someone who can communicate, someone who can break down very complicated things into very simple things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I meet this person and I'm interviewing them, so a soft interview, generally just a conversation, you will throw questions and you will see how they answer them.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't explain to you what a cloud-based point of sale solution is with inventory and purchase orders and do it, and they can't necessarily dumb it down and make it look very consumable, you know that's not your person.
Yeah.
So that's core competence. Then the second bit now is ethic. So I will set a meeting and let's see what time they make it. If they are late, now I start wondering, okay, this guy has no respect for time, has no respect for people, has no respect for authority, has no respect for all these things, you know.
Yeah.
The small nuances will have you get the right person. Because if you get the right person, a person who has an understanding of work structure, ethic, authority, outcomes, etc., someone who has passion, someone who has responsibility, it becomes very simple now to
work with them.
Exactly. And as he said, the moment you see any of those things are lacking, please get rid of that person immediately and get somebody who can get that done.
Okay.
And it's the small things. We have had very serious people with very serious core competence, but work ethic was rubbish.
Couldn't show up.
Yes. Simu Itazima, you are supposed to go and sort a client's problem on site.
The guy is not there.
By the time the client is calling me, there's a problem because they were you were supposed to handle them. You have no sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
You have no sense of respect. Because why are you wasting a client's time?
True.
They were there since 12. What are you telling me at 2 p.m. you had an why didn't you communicate it? Which is why he was saying communication as well.
Yeah.
So I think it goes down to picking the right people who understand the right things, but you also need to understand what they need to understand.
Definitely.
Because it needs to be articulated to them and for them to understand that this is not a joke.
Okay.
It could look casual, but we are in no shape or form casual. We are very serious people.
Definitely.
Yes.
The third one, you said two things. Ethics, competence.
Mambo ni matatu.
Looking for the third one because I'm also learning.
Yes. And basically a general desire. Okay.
Attitude.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah, you can actually call it that. Because you will have two types of people. There are people who just show up for the sake of showing up. And there are people who, when a client is not happy, it's none of their business. They are not possibly an owner of the company. But this person is gravely disturbed.
Yeah.
Apana.
Don,
yes, I was thinking, I want to go here and do, you know. So that attitude that has personal initiative, grit, you know that.
That's what you're looking for.
You know, exactly.
Okay.
So the moment you get such a person, please make them happy and never let them go. Oh, God. They will make your work easy. Your clients will be happy. Everything will be good. Because now the moment you give a simple instruction, it will be carried out to the letter without having to ulifika. Haujafika kwa nini? Buda imepata accident. Okay. It's like, brah, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it makes them also like work with each other.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's also another thing you should be looking at. If they can't
work together,
then you don't have a team.
Yeah.
True.
If you don't have a team, you're not getting anything done.
Definitely.
And also, just to add on what Don is saying, another aspect of leading a team is empowering them. You have to, number one,
for sure.
Of course, the training bit is key. It's primarily the first thing that we get to do when someone is on board. Understand the culture at Hasibu, for them to see what kind of a place this is, so on and so forth. And then also empower them, because you've hired them because they're qualified for that particular role.
Yes. Yeah.
Empower them and give them the freedom to play in that role. Because that's the only way that you want also career growth for the employee.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You want them to be able to, you know, express their abilities and skills, so on and so forth, to the maximum. So giving them that space to basically do that. That's another thing that at least has been very key for the product team as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I think the interview is rolling down well. So this interview has been brought to you by Financial Hub, a company focused on training and mentoring traders on how to maneuver the Forex market. It's a difficult market, but we do offer a course that mentors people on how to trade markets or basically make your journey a bit shorter. So trading is difficult, especially if you're self-taught, but through our mentorship, we try and make your journey a bit shorter in understanding markets.
and that is Financial Hub. Thank you. So my next question will be, most tech startups quickly go for outside capital, VCs, and raising money, you know, taking crazy valuations, you know, this company is worth $1 billion. Like most people want to, you know, make the next unicorn. And have you guys raised money? Do you have a vision for a unicorn? You know, take us through that. Okay. Oh, the journey of basically how you funded your company, how you managed to hire 15 people and all that.
Okay. Fundraising is more complicated than most people understand.
Yes, I've been there. I know.
It's like throwing darts in the dark and hoping
you hit the bullseye.
Yes. But now, myself and Dennis, we have the idea that we want to build a business with the right fundamentals more than getting valuations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a valuation is a perception. Eh?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, a valuation is a perception.
Mm-hmm.
But we would hope that by the time we are hitting 5,000, 10,000 customers, the fundamentals are right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
how
for
are
sure.
we ensuring customer satisfaction?
Oh, okay.
How are you ensuring that your teams are doing what they're supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Is the compliance structure solid?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What are your hiring processes?
Mm-hmm.
What is the framework of the accounting department? Mm-hmm. How is legal? How is everything being done and meshing together and still leaving us profit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because a business grows in what? In capital and in profit and in general
size.
Yeah, true. Yeah. People.
So our focus is principally on these three things. And we always usually go back to unit economics because we don't want to just do things for the sake of doing them. Fine, mm-hmm. we have $1 million, $2 million. Yes, let's hire 1,000 people for what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
True.
Mm-hmm. It has to be based off of something
need.
Rational, pragmatic, concise within a strategy that has economy goo.
Mm-hmm. True.
We are trying to do this while still achieving this and this and this. How do we do this? We draw back, we do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So that has been our ethos.
Mm-hmm.
We had thought of raising capital even inside the process. But along the way, a couple of things changed and we said we wanted to first focus on the business as it is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what the future holds, but for now, that is not something that is on the table. At the
moment. Okay, so you guys are focused on creating a very all-round product first, you know, customer satisfaction, deliverables,
yeah,
team, business, exactly.
Yes.
That's nice, that's nice.
So also to add on to that, we've fully bootstrapped the business from the time we started.
Mm.
Because by bootstrapping, for those who may not know what that means, is basically unatumia the money that you get from the business to run the business.
If you first start from your pocket first.
Start from your pocket, basically.
You stay in your pocket for some time.
For a long while.
The pocket for a long doesn't have much
profit. Yeah, yeah.
So whatever coin you get from your customer,
mm-hmm.
and more often than not, it's when you're beginning, it's not even enough to buy you lunch.
Mm, for sure.
So we basically build around bootstrapping. We got into our pockets as well. We didn't hire at mm-hmm. all. Because we were without.
So just started the three of you. You, Don, Dennis, and Howard. Howard,
yes. So just fully working on that, providing customer support, building the product, as well as doing the sales and the marketing bit. So we did that for a while until at least Gurudumu ikaanza kuroll.
Who joined the team. And you had to let him go. After like 3 months, you couldn't afford him.
The struggles of entrepreneurs.
You had to go. It was tough. And even when you are getting him, you're not getting him for so much money. So you have to sell the vision, man.
It's definitely.
The only currency you have at that point.
For sure.
Bali.
Within a year, bro, check it. No, skia. I understand you can rent. I get it. But so we bootstrapped, as Dennis said, at least until, you know, like the math could math. So till today, we are still growing, you realize, mm-hmm. oh my God, yeah, this has been a good leap month on month. I think we can get one or two guys.
Okay.
There's a need here. Yeah. We need to add someone in this team, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So I also, for the fundraising bit, we rightfully tried to fundraise. Mm-hmm. That was sometime early this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we closed down the efforts after realizing that, of course, when you're bringing in external mm-hmm. capital, there's always the direction that the investors will want.
Yeah.
But then again, a lot of the time, that is very conflicting with the
especially
vision of the founders.
It's not the same vision.
Yeah. So we learned that with the interactions we had with the investors that we got to meet.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what the future holds for sure. So, but for now, we just decided to close down those efforts.
Okay.
Now, you seem to be very grounded in your principles around business, hiring, working together. I might easily assume something must have influenced you guys into thinking like that or thinking around that in business. Mm. So would you guys pinpoint some probably books, podcasts, people who've had big influence on your view around probably tech startups, how to run a company, how to build a company? Anything you'd share on that?
It's funny because mm-hmm. I think the old adage, experience is the best teacher.
I know.
No amount of books will prepare you for whatever waits for you on the when you start doing things.
Yeah.
So, well, for sure, there's been a lot of material that personally, individually, to me consume.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much interested in podcasts that within the startup space,
mm-hmm.
Business space as well.
Mm-hmm. Like which one, for example?
I listen a lot to All in One, the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think from the business point, the fundamentals of it. I think the book that has had much influence on me, Likua 0 to 1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also there's this book by Rich Dad Poor Dad, I think. Mm-hmm. That was not on the personal finance bit though.
Okay.
But a lot of the knowledge I'd say from my side is basically experience.
Jaribu unalan.
You make a lot of mistakes along the road, mm-hmm. but the experience is very invaluable.
Yeah. Okay.
True.
Mentorship, networking, how do you guys go about that?
Mm-hmm. So, I think, Dennis, you're more on the mentorship side.
Yeah. I personally have a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Robert Yawe. He's been a very, you see, when Kunele picture as a young man, you need someone who's walked that path.
Yeah, for sure.
To at least show you.
The ropes.
Kwambia, ukienda hivi tu utajipata tu umerudi hapa.
Usiende hivi sana.
Na ameenda. Akanyoroshwa.
Akarudi.
Akarudi. So, sawa.
Now that is experience, I'm just saying.
He's a personal mentor and he's been very helpful.
Okay. For me, I have another again question. You guys are young entrepreneurs. You are qualified again to be hired by, you know, some of the top companies probably.
Yes.
Through your experience and again through your academia. But you chose business, which I know, and my partner here, we know business is difficult.
Yes.
Especially for young people, because you don't have much on your table. You've not invested something to now say, let me now pull this money here, start this business. Yes. You see? So you said you started, you didn't even have lunch money. It was difficult to, you know, even hire. All these business challenges, how have you maneuvered them? What keeps you going? Sort of, I think that's the right question. And what would you advise young people coming into the tech space, trying to build tech startups and all that, the vision of how can you advise a young someone, and how have you maneuvered your own, you know, dark times in business?
So, okay. Dennis and myself, we think very differently, and I feel like we...
Differently in terms of you two think differently, or you think differently, he thinks
we
differently?
We are off the green.
Oh, okay.
So we don't look at things from one,
okay.
mm-hmm. one perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it started back in campus. Mm-hmm. It was our first venture together, we were in campus, yeah?
Yeah, 2016.
Yes, and in 2017-18, there was one of, actually, I realized I actually have a mentor. Interesting. I didn't come up. So one of my mentors got us a really great opportunity in Tanzania. And I think that was the first time we got so close to the reality of a huge life, because you realize, hiya,
can make it.
We actually have something that people need that can get us to such a level, you know. And I think when you come to proximity with such a reality, it will change you, because you'll start to realize, clearly, I have a lot that I can give this world that can be appreciated on such high levels.
Shows you the potential,
you know,
in you.
Yes. And the second thing you start to also realize is that value that you have can change people's lives.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Now, when you go down that road, it's very difficult to come out of it.
Exactly.
Yes.
I think I just before you add anything, I think that is the same thing we have done as Financial Hub. Because for us, our core business is trading.
Yes.
Yeah. Trading came out of, you know, need from people to start learning what we do.
Yes.
And we just started doing it for fun, actually, you know, creating articles and just dropping some videos on YouTube. It was nothing serious.
Yeah.
And then again, we came and saw that you're actually helping someone, like, change his life totally. You see, someone who's just about to get scammed, he meets you.
Yeah.
You see, and you tell him, hold on it. Come this way, learn this way. You can do this by yourself.
Yeah.
Don't give someone your own a million shillings to trade for you.
Yeah.
Then in 3 months, you've lost it.
Yes.
You better invest in the skill itself, which is actually now value for yourself.
Yeah.
And now you can trade your own money. So since then, because that was not really the idea we came into the market with, but the problem in the market was there. So we continued solving the problem. And again, what has been pushing us, because again, you know, you make so much money from trading than from training.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of our, as you're saying, like giving value to someone, you know, you realize that what you have is life-changing to someone else. And that is very key.
Correct.
100%. 100%. So, just to add on to the sentiments from both of you, I think the moment you come to that realization that there's a lot more that can be offered to the world. It becomes more of a pull than and you get to enjoy it a lot more than you don't consider it work, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, well, for me, a lot of it has also been from the aspect of freedom of time, and freedom of finance as well. Just making sure that I think we are all created for a purpose.
Yeah, for sure.
And for sure, I don't think being in an office working from 9 to 5,
it's not for you.
It can be very limiting.
I like to wear jeans.
It can be very limiting.
Yeah, for sure.
So when you realize there's a lot of different ways you can be able to earn a living, and also provide value to the market, and also get to enjoy it while you're doing all this, it becomes now more of a pull than
you feel like
anything else
pushing you. Okay.
Yeah.
The vision for Hasibu. You guys are 2 years in, 10 years in, I meet up with you, and the answer I'd love you to tell me is, we are on track just as we planned, Ken, 8 years ago. Tell me how you guys look like.
Okay, so I'll tell you something my mentor once told me. Never plan for more than 5 years ahead. And it always sounds initially counterintuitive, because I mean you're supposed to like know exactly where the vision is headed.
Yeah.
But you split vision in two. There's a general direction and there's a specifics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for the specifics, you don't go so far into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain. Imagine companies that had built their whole 10-year plan in 2019.
COVID disrupted everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine they sat down in 2020 and redid the 10-year plan. Russia happened.
Mm-hmm.
Fed Reserve has been doing its thing concisely Israel for the last 1.5 years proper.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you start to understand that the most important planning is possibly maybe 6 months, 1 year in the short run. Eh?
Yeah.
And you'll be so surprised how technical that is as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to foresee, number one, say we decide, okay, chief, at a sisi tuseme kama Shinsky, PSK next day kwa ni mwaka ya kushika mita USD. Start there. What does that look like month on month?
Mm-hmm.
That's about 100K USD
every month.
A month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does that look like in terms of marketing?
Yeah.
How much does that look like in terms of now, how will the retention teams grow? How will the implementation teams
support
grow? How will support grow? How will his tech team grow? Now, when you now trace that back, you start to realize 5 years is a lot of time.
Yeah, very long
ten
time.
10 is absurd.
10 is absurd, of course.
If you asked me, I pray to my God in heaven. I'm a believer. I pray to my God in heaven that we get to $1 billion someday. I would hope so.
Yeah.
And I trust that it is a possibility.
Yeah.
Because we have scoped
the market.
The market. Generally, we would want to go pan-African. Because we believe that there is a need in the Africa,
market.
The African continent, over and above Kenya. So if you asked me right now, that's the general direction of the solution.
Okay.
But without saying a lot, like just keep your eyes peeled. There is so much coming just next year, peke yake.
Okay.
That will now start to also give an insight into how things change. Because now whatever will be coming, the plan changed 2 months ago.
Okay, so you guys keep on moving with what is ahead of you, basically what startups do, but at least you have the general direction, which is
general
you want to build
direction.
A company in the finance space, which will probably solve 1, 2, 3 problems.
Within the African space.
Okay.
Yeah. If at least every African SME said they have heard about Hasibu,
you'd feel
possibly have intention of interacting with it for the betterment of their business.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm okay. Okay. Anyone who's ahead of you in that space, though? Like anyone who's you're competing with in that space?
There's competition wise, there's a lot of players, definitely. There's other players in the market.
Don't mention them.
Some are foreign. I'm just kidding. But the good thing with us is we really don't focus on competition.
Okay, so it's your own journey.
Everyone has their own journey, as well as for every business. There's what you try and the implementation execution plan is very different.
Yeah, uniqueness.
Maybe solving the same problem.
Yeah.
But the solutions and how you execute the solution is what now differentiates everyone else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you can say that there are financial podcasts in Nairobi.
Yeah.
You possibly can't count them with both your hands.
Yeah.
What makes you as unique, you know?
Yeah.
Because you guys are here.
Yeah.
You have not stopped doing this. So it's the same thing. Yeah, in fact,
do what you do, do it best
100%,
and do it your way because you understand what value you are bringing to the market. And what you start to also understand about value is not wholesome, value is very unique,
true,
you know. So, whatever we are providing, whoever we will perceive as our competitor will tell you they are doing the same thing. But if you go to the nitty gritties of it, how are they handling their retention, how are they handling their pricing, how are they handling everything is different. Possibly it's like an 80%
different
solution entirely.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there the face value of it? Never the same cap.
Just on the top.
Not even to a POS.
Okay, guys. So in the interest of time, we've had a long conversation. Not really, really long as we would have wanted. Probably we'll do a part two. We'll ask more questions to you guys. But what I'd say is, personally, I've learned a lot from the session. It was a pleasure to host you guys.
Thank you.
Anyone who has a business out there, Hasibu Systems will help you solve all the problems you had him define. I think it's very, very important as a businessman to focus on using data points to make decisions rather than just guessing. When you're starting, you can start intuitively. We'll start there. But for you to grow, probably you need some data. You need to bring in some data and pivot in line with what the data is saying. Because again, in line with actually that, there's one fact that I'd love him to share with you about clubs and drinking in Nairobi. So just before we had the session, he shared with me a very interesting fact, and it was very, very funny. So as a parting shot, I think that's the last thing that I'd ask you to share with our audience. But probably you guys have the last words to also share with people.
Ah, interesting. So part of our biggest core business is data collection. And Nairobians have a very peculiar habit of drinking Jack Daniels and Whitecap.
And Balozi.
So Balozi is number 3.
Yes.
For real, Pastaska.
Yes.
Crazy. So Bailozi, Whitecap, and Jack Daniels people, we see you.
Across
and the way you'll hear Nairobians, I don't have money. Then he goes to a club and, yo, give me a JD.
JDs are the best performers.
Across clubs in Nairobi.
That's
very interesting.
That's an insight. So if you're a bar owner and you don't know which alcohol goes,
at least stock those three.
But first of all, see Kasibu. Probably where you are is not Jack Daniels.
It's Jack Daniels.
No?
Okay.
Interesting. So for me, I don't have much to say. Thank you, Don and Dennis, for coming. I hope our audience have learned something from me about business and also tech. That is it for today. Catch us on our next podcast. Share this with your friends and family.